Church, for the 30th and final time for a while, I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. So if you've been with us since January as we've been going through this series, you should be well-worn a path to find the book of Ephesians. We are going to actually be in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, and we have a very special kind of surprise for you this morning, actually. So when we lived in Louisville, I went to seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and our pastor was preaching through the book of Colossians, and someone in the church at the same time was actually memorizing the book of Colossians. And so in the last Sunday of that series, the person who had been memorizing got up and recited the whole book of Colossians. It was really amazing. And when I started our Ephesians series back in January, Jen Humrichaus told me that she was actually working her way through memorizing the book of Ephesians. And so I asked her, Jen, probably in about June, I said, we're going to be finishing up Ephesians. Little did I know, I should have known that it always takes way longer than we think. But do you think you could finish it and then recite it for our church as we close our Ephesians series? And she said that she would. And so today, in just a few moments, I'm going to have Jen come up and she is going to recite the whole book of Ephesians. And what's really cool about this is because as we've gone through the book of Ephesians, as we've taken 9 months essentially to really pick apart every little piece of Ephesians, it's been really helpful because we don't want to miss anything that's there. But at the same time, Ephesians was written as a letter to the churches in Ephesus and in the surrounding areas. And so it was meant to be read as a whole. And so what we have is really the opportunity to hear the book of Ephesians like the early church would have heard it. And so one thing that Jen made clear, I asked her to do this, she said, I just don't want this to be like all about me or what I did. And I said, well, first of all, it's going to be impossible to avoid that because what you've done is incredible, like memorizing the whole book of Ephesians. But number two, it's going to be just a real blessing to our church to hear the book of Ephesians as a whole. So as she's going through it, don't try not to think about, oh, did she miss a word here, or where's she, you know, how's she doing, or is she feeling nervous, or whatever. Really, I want you to kind of absorb and soak up and think about Paul's train of thought as he's writing the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, from beginning to end. And so in just a moment, I'm going to have Jen come up, and we're going to have this really exciting opportunity, but I'm going to pray for her before she does that. So please bow your heads with me, and let's pray. God, we thank you for this letter that we've been able to study as a church over the past 9 months, God, for all that you have revealed to us about the spiritual reality that is maybe unseen with our eyes, but is just as real as the physical reality that is right in front of us, about the truth that of the blessings that we've received in Christ, about the radical unity that we have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, God, about the way that we're called to be filled with the Spirit, God, about the way that we're called to live, to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called, Lord, the way that we're called to live in our household, the way that we're called to live in our work, Lord, the way that you want us to be as the church, of putting away the old, the former self, and putting on the new, God, and ultimately, like we've just seen in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the armor of God, Lord, so because our battle is not against flesh and blood. And so I pray for our church that as we hear this letter recited to us, God, that those truths that we've been studying since January would just sink deep into our hearts and you'd solidify some of those things, God. And I pray for Jen. I pray that you give her memory and recall of the things that she's spent so many hours studying and memorizing. God, I pray that it just flows naturally and freely from her, that she wouldn't be nervous, God, but just that our church would be blessed through this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a privilege to look around at my church family today. I spent some time during worship just looking at faces because, as you can imagine, I'm so excited for today, but I am so nervous. And so to see your faces and the people who've loved me, loved my family, it's fun to be able to try to do something really brave when you're loved by such a church family. So thank you. A little bit of story behind this is, some of you know, in 2018 I was diagnosed with cancer, and I've had it twice, and one of the repercussions of that is just a horrible memory. And I've struggled with just remembering things that have been important to me. And I remember a conversation with Jason's dad once where he told me about a man who he knew who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he had just said to him, "Dave, you need to start memorizing the Word of God, because then you're, you know, working your mind muscle, and you're also bearing truth inside of you that you might need." And I just felt like the Lord put that on my heart, and I've loved Ephesians 1 because it's such a gift to us, just what God has given to us. And so no matter what we face in life, like, you can read Ephesians 1 and think, "I don't need anything else." And so I started there, and then after a little bit of time, at one point I listened to Moody Radio, and someone had said, "Well, when I memorize the book of Ephesians," and I thought, "Can I do that?" And so I just felt like the Lord kept growing that desire in my heart and soul. So that's what you will hear today. I would be remiss to not thank my family for the many times they had to listen to Bible verses in the car. My Sam was probably my most willing volunteer next to Jason. We spent hours on the porch. So I'd be like, "Let me do it again." I'm thankful to the small group who let me come. I'm thankful for the first family who came to my house and listened to me and write down on papers what I missed when I had a little bit of a panic and waited on me. But just friends, my family who helped me. So, all right. For your glory, Jesus. A letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesians and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons to himself, according to his purpose, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he blessed us in the beloved, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things to the counsel of his will, so that you who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know what is the hope that to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us. For by grace you have been saved, and this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, and has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure grows together into a temple, holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to all the Gentiles what is the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I ask you, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in all generations forever and ever. Amen. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together with every joint with which it is equipped, makes the body, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off the old self that belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that anyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, addressing one another, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. Now in the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife or loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good that anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplications. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith. Grace be to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Thank you, Jesus.
Exactly. Oh, man. This is amazing. I'm a little bit sleep deprived, but I did not expect to get that emotional. I'm hearing the letter. I think if Paul himself was here, hearing that, he would be like, "Yes, that is the tone and the tenor, and that is how I meant my letter to be heard." Because what you just heard wasn't just rote memorization. That was the word implanted in her heart, and you could just sense that in hearing it. So praise the Lord. To God be the glory indeed. Thank you, Jen. Praise the Lord. Scripture memory, it's not something we spend a lot of time talking about with our adult ministries. We talk about it a decent amount with our kids, but it's not just for kids. In fact, I think we would all say we want our kids, if you have kids or grandkids, to be memorizing God's word, but probably the best way to get them to do that is to have them see you memorizing God's word. And so I hope that encourages you to say, I can memorize God's word. And maybe it's not a whole book of the Bible. I don't see what would stop you if you felt the Lord calling you to do that. But even if you don't memorize God's word at all, and you're like, I could memorize one verse a month, and I could then have 12 verses in my heart this year that I wouldn't have had, and then multiply that over however many years the Lord has left for you, and that's a significant amount of scripture. So I hope that just encourages you to work on that discipline. Again, it's not something we talk about very much, but yeah, I hope that's an encouragement, and man, what a blessing. I just can't think of a better way to close our time in Ephesians than hearing the letter recited like that. As we close this morning, in just a few moments here, I just want to read a verse from Ephesians that's been just really my life motto in a lot of ways. Recently, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it's a great benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this might sound, it does sound a little cliche and a little cheesy, but it's true, so I'm just going to run with it, that I just have been so convicted recently that I am very guilty of putting God in a box and trying to think that I can have God figured out, that I kind of generally know. I don't know exactly what he's going to do, but I know kind of the ways that he works, and I know kind of, you know, and then you just start to kind of you wouldn't really say this, but the way that I operate is like, well, if I want X to happen, I need to do Y. And if I want this to happen in my life, I need to do this. If I want God to do this, I need to do that. And there's just been a few things in my life recently where I've seen God working in ways that I would have never even thought to pray. Like, not just answered prayers, but like, answered prayers that I wouldn't even dare to think that I should pray or that God even could work in that way. And certainly our adoption is one of them, but there's been other things that are just like, I've just felt like, God, I am thinking too small of you. And our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. Amen? Or imagine. So imagine what God's able to do. He can do immeasurably more than that. Immeasurably more than that. He's so much bigger than we realize. God is not confined to what you think he can do. Can I say that again and get an amen this time? God is not confined to what you think he can do. I know there's a lot of you have had conversations where several of you have been like, I just can't believe, like if you told myself 3, 4, 5 years ago that this is what God would do in my life, I would have just thought there's no way that will ever happen. And we just think too small, not only about what God can do, but what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. We think too small of how God wants to grow us. And I'm guilty of that, and I'm guessing you're probably guilty of that as well. So I was just thinking about this and praying about this, and for the next 5 weeks, so starting next week, we're going to start a series that's just simply called Following Jesus. And I want our church to have a passion to follow Jesus. And we're going to talk about different aspects of what it means to follow him. And I think we could go into this series with two mindsets. We could just think, yeah, this is another series. Maybe it'll help me a little bit. Maybe I'll grow a little bit in some things. We could think that, or we could think, I'm going to have open hands and an open heart to anything that God wants to do in my life and through me. Now, when we were in Guatemala, Les, the leader of the ministry, led our debrief one night, and he led us through this prayer, and he said, I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me and agree with this prayer, and I'm going to say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, whatever you want to take away, whatever you're calling me to, whatever thing that you want from me, I want you to have that, God. And he's saying that, and if I'm honest, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know if, and that's a scary thing to pray. I honestly don't know if I can, like, say that and be really deeply, truly honest in my heart when I pray that prayer. And then, thankfully, he threw people like me a bone, and he said, that's a hard thing to pray. And so maybe you're not there, but maybe you can pray, God, help me to want, to give you whatever you're calling, whatever you want from me, however you want me to grow. God, I'm scared to say that, but help me to want that. And that's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for our church. And so we're going to close this Ephesians series and look forward to the next series in the same way. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to pray a prayer that says, God, whatever you're asking from me, whatever this next phase of my life is, whatever, like, I just know it's more than I could ever ask or imagine. Doesn't mean it's going to be necessarily easy or painless, but it's more than we can imagine. And so when we pray in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you, if you're ready to pray that prayer, to have that same posture and just open your hands and bow your head before the Lord. And if you're like where I was in Guatemala and still kind of am a little bit, to be honest, of like, I'm not quite ready to pray that, but God, help me to want that. I want you to do the same thing. Open your hands, and bow your head, and pray along with me. God, help me to be open to you. We don't want to just be kind of playing this following Jesus thing. We want to be a church that is seeking hard after whatever the Lord is calling us to. So as we close our time in Ephesians, I'm going to read these verses one more time, and I'm going to pray. And when you're ready in your heart, and if you're not ready in your heart right now, you don't have to do it, but when you're ready in your heart, I want you to open your hands and ask that the Lord would make this true of you as well. So let me read these verses, and then we'll pray as we close our time in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we come to you confessing that we have thought too small about who you are, about what you're capable of, about how trustworthy you are. We've thought too small about the fact that your plans are better than ours, even when they're different, even when it's painful. We've thought too small about the fact that It is far, far better for you to be the Lord of our lives than for us to be in control. And so, God, we come to you with open hands right now. And we ask, God, that you would work in us in ways that will just blow us away, blow others around us away, that will just so clearly bring glory to you, because only you can do these things in our hearts and our lives. And so, God, symbolically, we open our hands. And yet we know that for every single one of us, there's things that we're clinging on to that we don't want to open before you. And sometimes you've got to wrench our hands open, God. But we pray that this would be true of us, that we would be willing to bow our knees before you and say, God, I'm yours, my heart is yours, my life is yours, my possessions are yours, my family is yours, my job is yours, my gifting is yours, my house is yours, everything is yours. And we can trust you. So do as you will, God. God, for those of us who are just honestly saying, I can't pray that today, but I want to want that. God, give us more of a desire to want for you to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. We need you, God. Work in our hearts. Work in our lives. Blow us away. To you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.